Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your hostess for today, Tarina. Welcome to Declare Victory. We are happy to have you here with us. We know you're going to the prayer request from the app are as follows. We had a prayer request yesterday. I don't know if it was done yesterday morning from Leisha Allen. I need prayer for my paperwork to be processed today, which was yesterday, so I can get paid by Wednesday in Peter's name. Another prayer request from JC, asking prayer for herself and her mother, Miss James. JC need prayer for healing from stomach virus. Also, please continue to cover my mother, Thelma James, as she battles dementia. Thank you, DB family. The order of the call is as follows. Richard Kendra, declaration is a wild declaration. Prayer number one is Pretty Patrice. Prayer number two is Imani. I repeat that. Scripture, Kendra, declaration is a wild declaration. Prayer number one is Pretty Patrice. Prayer number two is Imani. Don't forget to mute your line by pressing the standard mute feature. I now pass the call over to Kendra. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Okay. Good morning. This is Kendra. I'm coming from the New King James Version, Isaiah 57:19, and the scripture reads as follows. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his most holy word as I pass the call.
So the call is about to start, or we are ready to start the call, and the word that I have this morning is law and order in love. You must love the Lord your God and obey all his requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. That's in Deuteronomy 11:1. This message was to the children of Israel, the Jews, God's chosen generation. Here's the backdrop. God forced the hand of Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, to release the Jews who had been slaves in his country for approximately 400 years. We're talking about generation upon generation of people that were born into slavery, the majority of which followed the customs of the land, including idolatry, which is worshiping a false god. They knew very little about God because he had been pretty much silent during their slavery. However, those who were praying and crying out to him got his attention, and he sent Moses as their appointed deliverer and negotiator of their freedom. Upon their release, Moses led approximately 1 million Jews out of Egypt to the Promised Land. However, after the euphoria of freedom dissipated, the reality of traveling and roughing it through a desert with no food, no water, no Costco, McDonald's, KFC, no motels, etc., the reality kicked in. Here's a victory thought. The Jews didn't have a relationship with God, and Christ had not yet come. They saw all of the miracles God performed, for example, the plague of flies, the plague of the frogs and locusts and hail, all of the water in the land turning to blood, etc., that affected the Egyptians, but completely skipped them. So that was a miracle. Being led by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and that same sea swallowing Pharaoh and his army when they chased them down. But they had no relationship with God. I'm sure they were grateful for the miracles performed in that moment, but their reality was that they had, again, no relationship with him, no loyalty to him, and therefore no real love. They most likely viewed God as an abstract, inordinate object, or being, not object, but being, whom they couldn't see, touch, or feel, unlike their idols that they made. There was no Bible, no instructions, nothing. This was an organic grassroots movement, and everything had to be created, including law and order. Moses was charged with leading, feeding, and instructing them, and finally implementing the instructions he received from God, the God the Jews had never seen. The Jews had to be taught who God was through instruction given to Moses and the examples from God himself. For example, the provision that he made for them while they were on the journey, the protection, even speaking to the congregation himself. And they had to be taught to serve him and him alone. Part of that instruction was loving God completely, getting rid of the idols, and worshiping him, the one true and living God. To ensure they didn't bring that behavior with them into their new home, the promised land, he has Moses lay out the instructions prior to possessing the land. They had to be reminded of this constantly, as they were prone to idol worship because it was all they knew. Excuse me. And it was their comfort zone. Here's a victory nugget for you. This didn't catch God by surprise. God was understanding of their ignorance, which is why he was so lenient with them. But after about the 41st time, and I'm being facetious when I use that number, but, you know, after they had done it time and time again, God was done with them, and he turned an 11-day trip into a 40-year journey, and that generation, we would call them the OGs, led out of Egypt by Moses, wandered around in that desert for 40 years until they all died except Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because of their disobedience, including Moses. But be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. That's Joshua 22:5. 40 years later, we read a similar message, except it is not to the same group of people. It is to their children and grandchildren. Their ancestors blew it because of disobedience, but God is giving them the opportunity to possess the land, provided they are obedient. Joshua is now the leader, and he's charged with reminding them to be careful to obey all of the commands. These scriptures are from the Old Testament, but we see familiar scriptures very similar scriptures in the New Testament. 1 John 3:23 says, "And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us." 2 John 1:6 says, "Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning." Now, fast forward thousands of years later, and we are in a very similar situation. What do you mean? We are teaching the same message. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. There can be no other God placed before him. The problem is that we don't really love God. Yes, we do. No, you don't. Yes, we do. No, you don't. What are you talking about? I don't worship idols. Sure you do. Let me give you an example. That ungodly relationship that you refuse to leave has become your God because you have decided to remain even though you know it's wrong. You work multiple jobs and or so much overtime that you don't have time for God. You don't have time to study his word, attend church. You don't even really have time for your family. You don't work because you need the money. You want it because it's your security. You trust the provision, the money, not the provider, God, El Shaddai. The person that will do anything for money, and I mean anything. I'm talking about sexual favors, keep you a gold digger on the side, credit card fraud, lie, steal, etc., you're in the same boat. Money is your God. The church position that you covet and guard as if your very life depended on it, the one you lied to get and you lied to keep, that's your God. The religion or rituals you uphold, for example, it's a sin to wear this, it's a sin to do that, it's a sin to go here, it's a sin to go there, your judgmental attitude towards others who are not as solid as you and the clique you have a lifetime membership to, that is your God. The leader you worship and idolize, she or he is so great, they do everything perfect, they do this better than that leader. You would do anything for them, including to sin if they ask you to. And you accept some of the things that they do that are literally wrong, and you know they're wrong, or they're borderline wrong, they're borderline or unethical, and you remain silent. You hold them up, and you almost worship them. That person, that leader, is your God. And I'm not necessarily talking about the pastor of your church. I'm just saying in general. Your intentional disobedience to God, you are your own God. 1 John 5:3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God does not ask anything of us that is burdensome. It is only burdensome if you are wrapped up in it so tight that it's a problem for you to let it go. I'm out of time this morning. We'll continue tomorrow, but I pray that this word will stir you up and help you to examine yourself so that you can be free of things that pull on you more than God do.
As we step into our WOW declarations, each share that you hear for the duration of this week will speak directly to just establishing order and some recapping in how we live, how we move, how we operate in our faith. The theme for this week, once again, just as a reminder, is assurance of salvation, assurance of salvation. And there are certain things in the Word that will consistently bring us right back to understanding and knowing and really finding balance in our individual processes, making sure that we are making the main thing the main thing. And I think we keep hearing it over and over and over again. And the key element, even in Tanya's revisited teaching, is love. That's the element that separates us. I believe we had that conversation on yesterday with regard to making sure your faith is solidified, making sure that you have the Word in you. And our grandparents or our forefathers' love for God was so great and so solid that it helped us to have that foundation planted. And I thank God this morning that our foundation is love. As we get ready to prepare our hearts and our minds to go into prayer, I believe Pretty Patrice is our first warrior this morning. I just want to take a Selah moment and make sure that you just kind of emotionally revisit, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you say you believe what you believe? Are you certain that your foundation is sure and that it's built on love? Are you positive without a shadow of a doubt that you are rooted and grounded in the Word of the Lord? And so really quick, just take a pause, take a Selah, and ask God, before we go into prayer, Lord, search my heart. Anything that hinders my faith, anything that hinders my surrender, anything I may have placed before you or above you, God, I just ask that you help me to see it so that the Word says, work out your own soul's salvation. We all have an individual, independent responsibility to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So with that, we'll take a Selah, and then after that, Pretty Patrice, you can lead us into prayer, and Imani, you can close us out. So just a real quick pause. Are you sure? Amen. Go ahead, Pretty.
Our Father and our God, we come thanking you, O God, for this day. Thank you, O God, for your spirit that lives down on the inside of each and every one of your believers, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for the breath of life, O God. Thank you that you watched over us as we slept and no hurt, harm, or danger came nigh to us on last night, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for forgiving our sins, God. Yet that we are aware and that we confess to you. We thank you that you forgive us of our sins. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we honor you and we glorify you on this morning. We thank you for that wonderful declaration on this morning, God. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your presence on this morning, God. Thank you for filling us, God, continually with your love, God. Thank you for filling us, oh God, with your joy, your unspeakable joy. Thank you for grace, God. Thank you for mercy, God. Thank you for a peace that surpasses all understanding, God. We thank you that you gave of your only begotten Son so that we might be saved. Thank you that he died on the cross, that they whipped him and they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and blood ran down his head and his body, and they spit on him, and they plucked him, and they beat him, and they beat him, and they beat him, and they beat him, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, God. Thank you. We don't take it lightly, God, that we are a chosen people, God. And we will keep your commandment, God, and we will study to show thyself approved continually, God. I lift up every family on Declare Victory to you, God. And I ask your protection for them and their families, God. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. We put no one before you, God. This day, we shall put no one before you. It's one thing not to know, but you can't not know what you know. And we thank you, oh God, for the information on this morning. If we've never heard it before, we've heard it today. You ask that we put no one before you, that we love you with our whole heart, that we love our neighbors. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you that you continue to fill us with your love. We thank you, oh God, that we continue to grow in you, that we're not perfect, God, but we strive to be God-like, to be Christ-like. In the mighty name of Jesus, we surrender all to you, God. We thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do in our lives and through our lives, God. Continue to let our light shine so others will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father God, I ask that you answer those prayer requests that were spoken on this morning. You know what they're in need of, God. I ask that you make the low light in the name of Jesus. I ask that you heal, deliver, and set free, that you comfort like you always do, like we know you to be, God. We thank you, God, and we surrender all to you, God. We open up our eyes. We open up our hearts. We open up our ears. And we pray, oh God, that you continue to do what your word says it will do. We thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, God. We give you honor and we give you glory on this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I pass the call, amen.
Father God, as I come before the throne room, thank you once again for your mercy and your grace. Never ever want to take it for granted, Father God. Father God, as I come before you, thank you for each and every participant on the call. For those who took the time to dial the number and call in, Heavenly Father, ask you to really bless them. Continue to bless the visionary of the call, Heavenly Father, and making a way out of no way. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father God, I ask you to continue to lift up each and every family member on the call. Each and every family, Father God. Bless them as you see fit in the name of Jesus. Father God, bless each and every child, Father God. Wherever their footstep treads, Father God, I ask you just to continue to tuck them under your wings and guide them in love on them, Heavenly Father, that they can continue to be that guiding light, Heavenly Father. And as they stray, Father God, continue to bring them back and tuck them under your wing and love upon them in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you to continue to bless each and every neighbor, Father God. Each and every neighbor, Father God, that we can love upon them as we love ourselves and have you be glorified in the midst of it, Father God. Continue to bless each and every co-worker and enemy, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we merely are supposed to continue to edify you in everything that we do. No matter how ugly people treat us, we're supposed to edify you in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, I ask you to continue to lift up each and every marriage. You know the need, Father. The marriage that you have put together, I ask you to continue to allow your covenant to be over the marriages, Father God. That marriage is merely not about us, but it's about you in the name of Jesus. For those marriages who are struggling, Father God, you know the need. Without even being asked, Father God, I ask you to bless that marriage, Father God. And for those who are not going through any storms, I just ask you to continue to put your love over them, Father God. Love supersedes everything. In the name of Jesus, as that couple continue to pray together and serve you, Heavenly Father. Father God, I ask you to continue to lift up each and every person who was born before surgery today, Father God. You know the need right now. I ask you to continue to bless the doctors, the nurses, the anesthesiologists, surgical techs, the cleaning team, in the name of Jesus, every single person who was involved in that surgery. I ask you, the person who was going through the surgery, rid them of anxiety, Father. Let them know that you're near. Even if they're non-believers, let them know that there's something higher than them that is near them, that you love them. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, Father God, continue to bless our government, Father God. You know the need. You know the need before we even ask, Father God. We serve a mighty God. You are our president, Father God. Let the light continue to shine in what you can do, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, Bless our local government, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless our militaries, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, you are merciful, God. Thank you for the blood that was shed for little old me and everyone on this line, Father God. Thank you for all that you have done and what you will continue to do, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, merciful God. Bless each and every city, Father God. Oh, I ask you to put an extra covenant and prayer over Chicago, Father God. You know the need. I ask you to be over everything that is about to go down in that city, Father God. You know the need. You know the need. I ask you to bless each and every citizen of that city, Father God. Father God, how much we love and appreciate you so. And not to forget about our little ones, Father God. Continue to lift up Josiah, Heavenly Father. Watch over him each and every day, Father God. Use him as a guiding light for the young people, Father God. Through his strength and through his courage. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, Father God, I ask you to continue to lift up Maddie, Father God. She's moved to a new town, and I just ask you to put people in her life who will continue to have God get the mercy and the glory, Heavenly Father. Bless our mother in the name of Jesus, Michelle. Continue to lift over to Maria in the name of Jesus, Father God. And Dion, watch over her as she's coming and she's going. In the name of Jesus, let no need go unmet. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, you are merciful, God, Father God. You know all the needs of each and every prayer request, Father God. I ask you to consider them in your name, Father God. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. The question was asked, why do we believe? Let that continue to resonate on our hearts. Why do we trust and believe in you, Father God, that our belief cannot be swayed by this and that? You talk about false doctrines coming about, Father God. If people continue to read your word, the Bible, basic instructions before life, and follow it, Father God, we cannot be strayed because we're following you, because you're always near us and loving on us. And we can feel you in the name of Jesus if you have the relationship. Continue to allow our families and our hearts and ourselves to continue to love upon you and learn your word that we cannot be challenged or swayed. In the name of Jesus, because it's solid as a rock. Oh, Father God, thank you for all that you've done and what you will continue to do for each and every one of us on this line, Father God. As we come to corporate prayer, Father God, ask you to consider the request, Father God, that we merely think about others and not about ourselves, Father God. Continue to love upon us and tuck us under your wings, Father God. As we open up the floodgates to each and every person in corporate prayer, Father God, thank you, Father God, for what you will continue to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Thank you, merciful God. Thank you, Jesus, for your underlying faith, Father God. As we open up the call for corporate prayers, come before you, Father God, trusting in you, Father God. Thank you, merciful God, for what you will continue to do in each and every person's life, Father God. Father, we thank you for our government, Father God. Thank you for your protection. So in Richmond, you open
Father God, pray right now that you would do it, Father God. Do it each and every year, each and every person on this call, God. Transform them now. Begin to transform them today, God. Make them better than we were yesterday. Hallelujah, Father God. We believe that you're going to do it today. We believe you, God. Get the glory for it. Get the glory for it. Change us and our households, Father God, because we're here to meet you today to declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah, Father God.
And thank you for the blood that flowed in,
Father. And you're welcome in the blood, God. Holy Spirit, manifest. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, flood everyone's lives. Holy Spirit, thy name, Holy Spirit. Oh, in Jesus' name, hallelujah to your name, God. We need your voice.
You, Lord God.
We need your hearing you more. God, let us pray,
Lord God.
We have it on earth, God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Only you can, God, make earth just like heaven. Bring heaven down on earth today.
Your
Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord God.
Bless that person
for your mercy, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God.
Glory to your name.
For your grace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Father God. Thank you that we're not armed against us will prosper. Thank you that we're covered from head to toe with the full armor of God. Thank you, God, that we're going to remember the power behind us is greater than that with face in front of us. Thank you, Father God.
We love you, Lord God.
Let it bring us down. That we're not, we're going to rise above our circumstances, God. Because of you, God, we're able to face tomorrow.
Yes.
Hallelujah to your name, Father God. Joy will come in our morning, and we declare joy will come in the morning
when
we be victorious in you, Father God. We will be overcomers because of you, Father God. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to you, Father God, for dying on the cross for us, for handpicking and choosing each and every one of us, and ordaining each and every one of our steps, God. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, that nothing is coincidental and nothing is happening for no reason, that there's a reason behind it, there's a story behind it, and most importantly, there's victory behind it. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah to your name.
Thank you, Lord God. For the renewing of my mind, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. For the quickening of my spirit. Thank you, Lord God. For the building, Lord God, of the inner man. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. In the name of
mercy,
Father God.
Thank you, Lord
God.
Bless your holy name. I lift you up, Lord God. I lift you up, Lord God. I lift you up, Lord God. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I know you're going to do what you say you're going to do, Father God. In the name of Jesus.
My soul cries out.
I trust you, Lord.
Help us to stand, Lord God.
Help us to stand, Lord God.
today in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Remove it right now, Father. Don't have enough tongues to praise you and
to love upon you, Father God, all that you will do and continue to do in our lives, Father God. And we think that we can't make it another day, Father God. We just want to thank you. Thank you for pushing us through, for loving on us. Thank you, Lord. Restoring our minds, Father God. For our hearts, Father God. For the love in our hearts, Father God. Oh, for merely that, Father God, we must continue to love you and appreciate you. Father God, as I pass the call,
honoring you, God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Life, life, Father. As you show me worthy and help me get rid of her, God.
As the call is passed.
Yes, Lord.
Good morning. Hello, and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is Sharina, and I'm your hostess. I hope you've been blessed by the call.
Yes.
I want to welcome Demetrius Jones, first-time visitor. Is there anyone else? Anyone for first-time visitors? Is there anyone that joined the call late? Did not get to say hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Victor.
Patrice. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Patrice. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning,
Good morning,
family.
Sam. It's Bubbly.
Good morning, Miss
Glenn. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning,
hey, good morning, Miss Alita.
Good morning.
Good morning, this is Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, it's Bubbly.
Good morning, Bubbly.
Good morning, Bubbly.
Good morning, Bubbly.
Good morning, Miss Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Anyone
Lisa. Anyone else?
Good morning,
Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Victor's family. God bless you.
Good morning, baby.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, Road Dog.
Hey, hey, good morning, Brother Eric.
Brother Eric.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
It's Dondria. Good morning, pretty Patrice. Good morning,
family.
Good morning,
Dondria.
Good morning, it's Beverly.
Good morning, Beverly.
Renee, good morning.
Morning, Renee.
Good morning.
Are there any birthdays today? Okay, well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is Love, Life, and Victory portion. Thank you, and have a blessed day. Before I pass the call over, there is TNT Bible study tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Pastor Lavelle Jones. I now pass the call over. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you, Marina. Amen, amen. Well, good morning and welcome again to Declare Victory. Thanking God for each and every one of you. I pray that the WOW Declaration blessed someone. I know without a shadow of a doubt, it absolutely blessed me. It has been interesting to go back into our database. There are so many declarations that I was just like, wow, I forgot all about that, and I forgot about that. Ooh, what about that story? It's a couple tenuous storytelling her behind off. Do you hear me? We'll be able to venture into that a few times a year. We decided to do it anytime there's a fifth week in the month. So look forward to that. Before I begin with the discussion, and I'm sure the call will probably end just a little bit earlier than normal on today, we are using this time to give folks a break. Amen. It takes a lot to prepare. It takes a lot to get up and do this every day. And so I just want to be mindful that we are not experiencing the burnout season. Amen? Amen. So anybody get anything at all from the share this morning? Anybody?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you don't have nothing, I can tell you what stood out for me the most. was when Kenya began to talk about idolatry and the things that we take for granted. We don't necessarily know that we may be putting something or someone above making ourselves available to God's will for our life. And so I really wanted to spend some time talking about that, remembering that one of the things we like to focus on is making sure that we have balance. Do we have any workaholics on the line?
Hey, 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 hallelujah to being a workaholic, Brother Jeff, for real.
Hilarious. You want to share, Brother Jeff, or were you just chiming in because you know you're guilty?
Yeah, I'm guilty of that one. You know, I've been a paper chaser since I was a teenager, you know, watching my older brother. He taught me how to, you know, shine shoes and knock on doors and cut the neighbor's grass from, you know, from a young lad. And it carried over into my adult life. And, you know, I've caused some harm in my marriage, chasing that almighty dollar. And, you know, I've worked many, you know, a couple of jobs for many years. And, you know, it's Jesus was on the back burner. My family was on the back burner. And I learned from that experience. So I got a lot out of that declaration. You know, like idolatry, like you're saying, it's one of them that's up front. But it really puts me in the mind to not want to be disobedient to God's word, you know. And, you know, like you just said, have balance in my life, you know. So I got a lot out of that declaration.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Thanks for your transparency. Anybody else got a, and you know, because you know we know when we're doing too much. We know when something is taking precedence that maybe should not have as much authority and power as we give it. Anybody else willing to be transparent? Y'all know I'll tell all my stuff. I don't care.
Yeah. Be honest, brother.
Brother Eric and then no, Brother Eric, you will work. Go ahead. And then Dee Dee, go ahead.
Yeah, I really truly want to thank God for my wife. She's really put me into more of a status of a recovering workaholic because she constantly reminds me that you know, I have obligation to our ministry and to our marriage. But, you know, outside of her, I can really fall into that too. Like Brother Jeff, you know, I grew up, I wasn't allowed to work. I wasn't allowed to work until I got out of high school. And then it seemed like, you know, once I got a taste of working and getting my own money, I always had a hustle mentality. And so, you know, whether I was working legally or illegally, getting that paper was something that I could do. You know, it was something, it was nothing for me to put, like Brother Jeff said, put everything on a back burner and just work and just grind and grind. And I find myself sometimes getting back into that, you know, especially working in the school district. There are a lot of ample opportunities for me to work and to get just really focused on that. So I thank God for having a wife who can pull my tail and say, hey, what about me? Hey, this is what you also need to do too. And so that my work doesn't necessarily have to be towards, you know, earning a paycheck, but there's so much more work that I need to be doing for the kingdom. So that's me.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Dee. That was good, Brother Eric. Thank you for sharing.
Just another refreshing wow moment. I'm so glad that you do have so much stored in the database. But I know at one point in time I was doing so much church work, running myself into the ground because I had to be at everything. And then I was doing a Friday night live at my church for the children every Friday. So I think sometimes we can get confused. We can get so caught up in doing work, and sometimes our ministries, we forget which ministry, we forget home, we forget about what's necessary. And I really appreciate this fifth week because you can get spiritually burned out, too, if you're doing too much. I think sometimes people get church work confused with God's work. And so I appreciate my pastor because he'll tell you, I'm not trying to see y'all at everything. You know what I mean? If you're at every conference, every program, every service, what's really going on with you? And even with your, even though we mean it in love, we can overdo it. So sometimes you got to go sit down because it can be idolatry to try to be a part of everything, and you do want to give back, but you will get burned out if you try to be everything to everybody and let God be God and just know there's a balance. And I appreciate Ravonda for that. That's the first person I ever said, whoever really pulled my coattail about trying to be at everything. You have to have a balance emotionally, spiritually, mentally, because if not, you can become spiritually, you can become a schizo, if that makes any sense, because you're trying to do everything, and sometimes you don't realize what an idol is, because do you really want recognition for it, or are you really doing it as unto the Lord? I hope that made sense.
Made total sense, honey. I get it 110%. Amen. Anybody else?
Didi.
Amen. So, hey, go ahead.
Yeah, something to come. Hi. I think what happens is, because I know a lot of people that, you know, they place other things first, and they struggle, following the Lord and doing what they're supposed to be doing, kind of like a tad bit of backsliders. I know that's a hard word, but I'm just going to use that word. You know, and they're not getting fed in return from what they're worshiping, you know, what they're placing above God. So their car starts to run out of gas more often. And, you know, I believe the Lord allows it to happen because he's trying to get their attention. So although we around them might get frustrated, we have to trust the process, not grow weary and, you know, continue to pray for them because they've made something else their God. And they just need to find out on their own that, you know, it's not going to feed back. It's not, you can worship it, but it's not going to turn around and give blessings in return. It's just not going to do that because what they've placed in place of God is not going to turn around and feed them. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Amen. Amen. I think a really good and very simple definition or description of what it looks like to idolize something. And I'll give this example of children or, you know, fans of a celebrity and how they fall out and jump through hoops and hear the person's voice or see them and scream and fall out. Honey, that person don't even know who you are, ain't going to remember you. The baby, Josiah, has the Make-A-Wish Foundation that has come to grant him a wish. And so he wanted to meet a football player. And I was like, you know, I don't mean no harm. And, you know, I'm glad you enjoy football. But what good is a picture or meeting him? Because, first of all, he don't do a whole bunch of talking. I was like, what good is that? How is that going to help you or help someone else? And he was like, well, I just, you know, want to meet him. I tried to get him to explain to me why, and he couldn't. I said, son, that man is going to forget that he met you about 2 seconds after y'all depart company. And it's no different than going to the nail shop and seeing a little glass poodle with some oranges and some incense burning. Honey, that piece of glass don't have any means of thinking or processing that you are offering something to it. And so, Moni, I think that was a great description about what idolatry offers, and it's nothing. Can anybody be honest and say, and we may not really mentally wrap our minds around this, but is worry your idol?
Are you in constant anxiety and fear about something that has not happened? Because, you know, that's a form of idolatry, too. Being more concerned with your issues and your circumstances than you are focused on what it is that God needs for you to do or desires for you to do. Can anybody just be transparent right here and say, you know, I might be struggling with anxiety or frustration or worry?
Good morning, Deanna. This is Ruth. How you doing?
Hey, Ruth here.
I can relate to just what you said. The only thing that can calm my heart, set up my heart, and clear my mind is God. When I start praying right in the midst, that's the best time to pray, when you're right in the midst and you don't let, you know, pride overtake you. I have to just go into prayer, and that's what I've been doing, and I've learned that over the years, just going to prayer right smack in the midst of it. And then my heart rate begins to settle. You know, my mind is more clear because I have to get focused on what God wants me to do. You know, and then every day, like I said, I wake up and I say, Lord, what would you have for me to do today? Because whatever he would have for me to do on that day is going to be good. It's not worrying. It's not stressing. You know, it's not anxiety. So right in the midst of that thing, I am learning. I have learned to just start praying right in the midst and give him praise right there. That's the only way I can speak right now, because I've dealt with some stuff that had I felt like I was choking. Like I couldn't even breathe. But right in the midst, 3 o'clock in the morning, when there's nobody there, I know you don't want to talk here at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't call anybody. I can get up, I can walk around my house and pray. And I can just ask God, let your presence be in this place. You know, I can go in, like they say, I can get on my knees and, you know, and just have a conversation with him. Right in the midst, right smack right there. Even it was funny, I was at work yesterday, and I said, my coworkers have no idea. I just wanted to shout yesterday, because when I begin to pray, you know, I get excited. And I said, they have no idea. I feel like shouting right now. And it's funny you say that today, because just yesterday, I just began to get excited, you know, for what God is going to do in my life. I get excited when I pray. And I'm glad that I'm not, you know, I'm not mad or I'm not bitter, because I can't pray. I don't like praying when I'm mad. You know, you're mad, you know, I don't want to pray, because you know, you feel like your prayer is not sincere. For me, that is. So, you know, I got to get that thing off. And I don't want to block my blessings. I don't want to block my blessings. So that's my thing, right smack in the midst of that thing. So I'm praying.
Amen. I think a lot of times, you know, when we understand, and I said this, and I probably should have shared it on yesterday, we have a tendency to look for an excuse to lord our lives. I'm going to say it again. We have a tendency to look for an excuse or a segue to lord our lives. It's one thing for God to be our Savior. It's another thing for him to be our Lord. And the difference is the level of maturity and the level of surrender. Our legacy will be as great as our surrender. And it's hard to see in the moment. That's why we surround ourselves with the many clouds of witnesses, because greater works, you know, eventually we'll do in his name when our surrender is as great as God expects and or anticipates that it is. Did that make sense at all?
Absolute sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's you know, when I look at it, I can kind of remember and or reflect on times, you know, just innate to learn behavior in trying to be the boss, from being, because I was a desperate workaholic, because I felt like the more money I made, the better I could take care of me, and I wouldn't have to depend on anyone. That was my excuse. That was my reason for working so hard. Working so hard that I missed time. And even, you know, it has been the most ironic thing as I, you know, dealt with my baby and his illness, you know, those moments in the early stages where I was consumed with what to do, how to do it. Should I do this? Should I go here? Should I call this one? Should I call that one? And I can remember, and I think I shared this before, I remember the moment the Holy Spirit said, well, Dion, you can drag him all over the universe if you feel like it. It's not going to change the situation because this is my thing. I'm doing this. I'm dealing with this. And I know what they said, but who do you believe? Do you believe them or do you believe me?
Makes sense. Anybody else have anything?
I wanted to just add that, this is Didi again, thank you for that, how the workaholic part, even being so consumed with your job and your whatever, your purpose or your hustle, whatever it is, your income, brother Eric spoke to it too. For me, I know those 30 years that I never ever thought that I would not be an AT&T employee, so that was an idolatry because I loved my hours, I even loved the work that I did for the majority of those 30 years, and then I had to, I think that was my reality check when God showed me, no, I'm your source. This is your resource. You've had your excellent benefit, you know, your 401k, your hours and everything, but you were putting your trust in man. And so that was my, like, for real, like this whole year that I've been in a different season, I so have gotten my appreciation for just, you know, if I never knew who or how real God was before, just to trust him with everything. So, again, it's easy to say it. That's for me. That talk, it, man, I'm just, and again, this is just how I'm starting to, I don't care about you quote me a scripture or tell me what the Word of God says. Until you can really apply it for yourself, that's what I have to do. The words have to become real for me and not just talk about it because I'm walking it. And then, again, God has placed so many people around me that I'm seeing it in 3D with your story and so many others that's really walking this faith thing out and trusting God with everything, no matter how it looks. Like you said, when victory looks like defeat, it all goes back to all things work, all of it. The no job, the repossessions and the foreclosure, all of it, the diagnosis, all of it. And, again, Dion, the other day I tried to have a slide down the wall moment because something had hit me out of nowhere, girl, and I started praising God for real. Like, not today, in the midst of it, not today. So it is something that, and it's all personal, too. You know, I think all of our walks are very, very personal, yet not private, because people can see what we're going through. So this wow is wow. Every day is just something new. So I love you and thank you.
Good morning, baby. Good Kayla. Day.
You heard her, huh?
I was going to say, baby Kayla sound like she over there hitting you in the head with Legos.
No, she got all her alphabets. You should see. Look like a classroom over here this morning.
Dion, can I add something?
Somebody needs to mute. Somebody mute for me, please. With all the background noise, I'm not sure who's
that. Ain't me. Walking or stirring or something.
I was. Okay, here we go.
I never really looked at the word jealousy the way that I do today. You know, jealous, God's a very jealous God, and he'll let you go for so far, but he will come back. He will come back to take what's his, and so he'll let you stay in your funk and worshiping your other God or whatever it may be, from A to Z, whatever it may be. He knows. He sees it, but he's a jealous God, and he will come back. Because what's his is his, and he will make an effort to bring you back from your, you know, idolatry, from whatever it is else that you've placed above him. So it's a great thing, you know, the word, you know, in that him being jealous, you know, that word being used with regard to him.
Good stuff.
And very, very true. It's that thing for you moment. You're like, be straight molded. He'll catch you right in the middle of you thinking you got it all together, and next thing you know, you shine. Amen. Anybody else got anything?
No, Deanna. I remember you talking about the raising program.
We can barely hear you, Brother E. Talk up just a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you just sound low. It might be my phone. Go ahead, babe.
Okay. I think that, you know, that people were called to be leaders, and those of us who are used to really being in control and making things happen, God will put us in situations. And like I said, I was remember your Raven program where when I first came here to California, I was so used to working. And I was so used to, you know, just doing things and making things happen on my own that, you know, for the first time in my life, for the longest time, I was placed in a situation where I didn't have no income, you know, I didn't have no contacts, you know, and so, you know, I really had to really just sit and wait and really depend on God. And I think it was in that situation that I really align myself to the fact that, you know, I could work all I want, you know, and I could do whatever I want. But God put me in that situation to direct me and to let me know that regardless of what I do, He is the source of everything. And, you
no,
know,
it's just
and
I can't hear. I have it on speaker.
Go ahead, Brother Eric, whoever that is. We can hear you, ma'am. Okay, go ahead, Brother Eric.
And so God puts us in situations like that to redirect us to depending and trusting on Him as the source. You know, I'm constantly reminded today now that, you know, it's God who feeds me. You know what I'm saying? This check I get from the District of Oakland would not have happened if it wasn't for God, you know.
Come on.
Because
yeah,
it's God that wakes me up. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. and my taxes and whatever I do, everything comes from God, the source. You know, He created me to worship. And so I'm always must be mindful of the fact that I'm liable to worship anything because that was what I created to. But as long as I align myself with the Creator, then I'm always will be in that right step of knowing that everything comes from Him. And we always say all things work together for good. We have to understand all things work together for good because He is the one that works everything out, all things out.
And it goes right back to Tenya's declaration title, Law and Order. And I think that we talk about this often, but I guess it's good that we revisit it because there are certain laws and principles that are just applicable to our lives. It's that if-then clause. If you do this, then God will do that. If you obey, then God will reward you for giving God His benefits. And even when I think about the argument that people who are faithless have, when you look at the rudimentary principles of spirituality, every single thing that means anyone well, from your self-help books to strategic business principles, 99.99%, they are established or based upon general biblical principles and laws. When you make plans and provisions, no different than a major corporate organization that has policy and procedure, when you follow this process, the end result is this. Every single thing in life is order and structure. Everything from running a household. We can use the example of children that are undisciplined, children that have no guide or no guides. We are identical in that right, that if there's no structure, if there's no order, a child uncorrected is a tragedy waiting to happen. And I believe that the basic principles of who and what our sovereign God is reminds us very gently of that. Now, and he'll remind you gently for a little while, then he's coming. Then you're going to feel like you've been in one old good knock down, drag out, make you sure ain't fight. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, Deanne, this is Julia. Just kind of piggybacking on what you said as far as the order. You know, everything that God created, you know, exists on some type of order. And I read that scripture in Job where he talks about, and I'm paraphrasing, that the water cannot cross the land. You know, I mean, that's amazing. You know, we have all this water. Mm-hmm. The world is like, what, two-thirds water? And it doesn't pass the land because there's a law set in motion. You know, the law of gravity. Only thing, it's like everything else knows, you know, they know, everything that God has created outside of man, they know, and they follow this law. But we feel like we don't have to follow it. You know, we step outside the law. We create our own laws. And then once we create our own laws, we totally forget about God, and God has to tap us on our shoulders through different trials and tribulations or things that come up in our lives to let us know, hey, I'm God. You know, I'm the creator. And so I just wanted to piggyback on what you're saying. It's amazing how we, you know, the whole world is run by order. No place, like you said, no place we go.
Is there no order? Are there no laws? Are there no basic principles?
Yeah. We feel like we don't have to follow. You know,
but that's why I said what I said a little bit earlier, Juju. We look for excuses. We look for opportunities. We look for segues to lord our lives. And we don't do it intentionally. It is human nature. It's just our nature to do what opposes the law. That's some cold game.
I want to say something, Deanne.
Sure, go ahead.
Carolyn, good morning, y'all. Thank you so much for this. Wow, this is good. Wow. Thinking about that thing right there, me and Jew had did the study on he is Savior and he is Lord. And then I hear it again. It keeps coming back up. And I'm like, well, God, where is it? It's that doubt thing some days. Even though I'm walking through it and I'm trusting, but I'll go there. But is he really Lord or am I? What is going on? Wow, that's good right there. That's a reminder for me to just trust him, even if it's not manifested yet, to just trust him, whatever it looks like. That's good. That's so encouraging to me. So, yeah, and that, depending on what Eric said, depend. Who am I depending on? Am I depending on me?
Sure.
Am I depending on God? Oh, that's good. That's a reminder.
Yeah.
And that is a push.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's good.
And it's easier said than done. Carolyn,
yeah,
and I'll say, I remember when the Lord told me to move to Atlanta, and I was like, okay, I'll go in June. He was like, no, you're going to go in 30 days. In 30, wait, hold up, Jesus. I'm going to do what now? And I was like, no, I'm going to let the kids get out of school. He was like, all right, okay. Baby, when I tell you everything that could shut down, did.
Wow.
I start getting shut down one item after the next, and all I could do was say, And so I didn't let it get too far because I had learned my lesson. See, God will start to give you, he'll give you the indicators when the raven has left where you at. And one of two things will happen. Either you'll try to maintain control or you will relinquish it.
Okay.
And so in this season, and now it's my 10-year anniversary of having moved to Atlanta. I was in Atlanta for 5 years. I left eight years. I left to go to Atlanta in 2008. Now here we are in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I watch the process with, you know, all of the things that have happened, and you know, I only share bits and pieces of it, But for real, like people that are walking alongside of me, like Deanne, this is a cold movie, and I just wish it would go off.
I don't know how you alive, let alone sane, but you get to a point where you start to understand how to move. And so, I fought it. It wasn't easy.
I was also thinking about Valetry. I thought about this, and food is not to be idolized, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's good right there. It reminds me of all that I've been saying. Mm-hmm. And before I go,
it can be idols too.
You're right. Ain't out of the thing. It's nourishment, right? So, but also, I just want to thank you for that thing on commitment. Ooh, yesterday I was still on that. Thank you so much. Being committed to the commitment. Oh, God, that was so good. And keep taking care of you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, this is Diane.
Hi, Lady D.
How are you? I just want to say, you know, sometimes we have things in our homes that are idols, and we don't realize what we have is idol things that we worship without even knowing that we worship them. And sometimes we have to do a self-assessment of our home to know the idols that we have in our home, do a spring cleaning of things we have in our house and statues and you know, little wooden things we have. I used to have these, Wayne had these African faces on the wall, and one day I was just sitting down quietly and looking at my walls and looking around the house, and I said, now, you know, we bring things in the house we don't really know where they come from, even though they may say one thing on the label, and, you know, we put them up on the wall and things that we have around the house. And like for me, I have a lot of Prince's house. And I used to wouldn't let the kids touch it or, you know, drink out of the glasses and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, and I'm like, why is that? You know, I bought these things to not just look pretty but to be used. And if they can't be used, then they become idols in my life. And so one day I was cleaning, so I looked at those statues, and the bird had started eating on one of them. I said, she don't like those things, and neither do I. And I said, why are they up there? So I took them down, and I put them in the garage to be thrown away. And I start thinking about the princess house. So I have my glasses in the cabinet for them to drink out of. But I had them so long, so they're afraid to drink out of them. And I said, why is that? If they break, they just break. They're things. And if you buy things, they're to be used and not to be put up on the shelf as idle where nobody can use them. They're afraid to touch them. And so I started then to remove things from my wall that can become idols in my life. And I started to throw away things that I wasn't using. And we have to be careful and know that we know without a shadow of a doubt we're not placing idols in our life to replace God, because those things that we don't pay attention to can become idols and can become take the position of God in our life. So we have to be careful of the things that we cherish and, you know, and hold on to. And we have to make God head of our life, as Lord of hosts in our life, and be careful of the things that we have in our home and our lives, and not to replace him with those things. It's good to have nice things, but not let them become idols in our life and replace God in our life. And I just think it was an awesome declaration because it makes you do an assessment of your home and assessment of your life and what you have in your life, because God wants to be Lord of all. And when Moni spoke of he's a jealous God, he doesn't want anything, no matter even the smallest thing, can become idols in our life. And we're not to make anything Lord in our life except for him. And we have to know without a shadow of doubt who we are and who Christ is in our life, that he can be Lord of all and reign in our life over every part of our life. And I just think that we need to continue to know who we are. And if we don't, there's all types of scripture to say, I am great. I am a child of the king. I am a high priest. You know, because God has everything that we need in the Bible to tell us whose we are and who we are. And all types of promises that he promised us, commands that he command us to do this and we will receive this. So if you don't know who you are and what you have and the benefits, I suggest you do a study and just read the Bible. Just start somewhere to learn who you are and the benefits that God has given you, and obey the command. He has two commands, and he said all the rest hangs on that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love thy neighbor as yourself. You can find these in Deuteronomy. You can find them in Exodus 20. And everything else hangs on these two commands. And if you do those and everything he says under that, you know, you will receive all his promises that he has for you. And then you just walk in it. I think that's an awesome, awesome declaration today, and just to revisit all the declarations that was done this week: fellowship, friendship, assurance of your salvation. Just awesome, and I love the way that the call is structured. So thank you for that, and I just love you guys.
Amen. We love you back. How about that? And there's nothing you can do about it.
I don't want to do anything about it.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Love you too, Lady P. Amen. Anybody else got something? Amen.
Hey,
little girl.
Good morning. The word, I woke up in my sleep, out of my sleep, and I was like, man, who's that? Oh, man. I was like, dang.
She kind of fly,
like,
huh?
Man. I was like, oh, that's me. Ooh. Ooh, I had to put my own. You know, the word of God doesn't change. It doesn't expire. I don't even remember doing that declaration.
Right.
It sounded like really somebody else. That lets me know it wasn't mine. It was God. It's not about me. The word that comes up for me, you guys, at the end of the day, is balance for me.
Yeah.
Is what I hear in it. Because we have to eat. You know, we got to go to work. We're commanded to love our husbands and our children, to love each other. I think it's important for us to ensure that we do it in balance, though. And the only way that you'll know that, so you can't look at my life necessarily. Sorry, I sound windy because you know what I was doing. You can't necessarily look at my life or Dion's life per se to say, well, this is how it should be, because we're different people. You can absolutely take things from our lives, which is why God has allowed us to be so transparent and to live our lives out loud, to be living epistles. It's a different kind of mantle that she and I have. And it's not just she and I, but, I mean, I just know that for us. And so when we talk about, when I look at that word balance, and you look at different things to set benchmarks for yourself, and you're having those intimate conversations with God, and you're doing your self-checks. There's a, I don't know where it is. It might be in Peter. Examine yourself. He tells us to do that. We can't just go through life just living. At some point, we need to take a Selah moment and evaluate our surroundings. I love what Diane said. By the way, if you have any Princess House stuff, you don't have to throw it away, sugar. You can hand it right on over this way. But I was like that even with my stuff. I like pretty things. And so I remember making the conscious decision. I was at one of my girlfriend's house. She said, I don't have nothing here that we can't use every day. I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, oh, man. I did a self-check. I had to make a decision. You know, the stuff breaks. You know, it's a thing. I won't have a full set, whatever. And so I broke that tradition. You know, when the kids would come over, somebody, could you mute? I don't know what it is. But,
whoever is snoring, right?
Is that a snore? That sounds like
somebody's
snoring.
Whatever.
Oh, okay. They probably won't hear us then, so I'll hurry up. I remember making a conscious decision. This is stuff. My children are here. Why not treat them like royalty? Why not serve them? And I know they didn't say it, but I remember the look on their face. Like, Mom, do you have some paper napkins? You really? No, use the cloth napkins. Are you sure? Yes! But I know it might sound like, for real? Yeah, really. So you guys, balance. Just we're not, the declaration is not to get you to stop doing everything, because you can be too, you can idolize religion too. But to evaluate and to prioritize is so important. That will help you with the balance. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, algorithm that you set up or some algebraic equation or some scientific whatever. You know, asking God what you should do, when you should do it, and how you should do it, especially if you have a tendency to do too much of a particular thing or of things, plural, did help you to identify. You may be operating in a space, and because you've done it for so long, you don't even recognize it. You might want to ask somebody, your family or your friends, do you see me doing too much of whatever? And then take what they say and evaluate it. Don't make immediate changes unless they're life-threatening, but take what they say, evaluate, and get an understanding. Connect with God and ask him about directing your path. And, you know, and guys, I think it's so important for us to just start enjoying life. We don't get another one. Thank you.
Hey, man. Well, thank you for chiming in.
Hi, Dion.
Yeah.
Hey. Good morning. This is Sharon Conway.
Well, hey, Ms. Sharon.
How you doing, darling?
Awesome.
Listen, I have been chiming in and listening to you ladies here, I guess the last week, maybe 3 or 4 times. So I don't know how I ran across the number, but I was just led here.
Amen.
And so I've been listening in and praying along and this, that, and I had to chime in when y'all mentioned Princess House, because, you know, I'm with that business 32 years. But what I do always say in my demonstrations is exactly what the first lady said. These things, you know, if you're going to buy them and sit them on a shelf and just look at them and idolize them, that's wrong. I said, no one deserves it more than you and your friends and your family. You know, these are just things. Truly, God is the provider of all beauty. So you have to, you know, rethink these things that we idolize so much. You know, I can, from experience, I have done so much clean out and throw out here in the last few years, because once you guys get as old as me, you'll really realize that, you know, some things just are not that important.
Amen.
And I really thank you all for all the comments and the prayers. And I want to tell you, I had a big prayer answered this past week. And it was like 2 days after listening in and praying along with you all.
Praise God.
How about that?
Hallelujah. That has a tendency to happen around here, Sister Conway.
Yes. But I had to chime in when you said Prince's House. You know, that's my life, part of my life anyway.
Amen.
Sister Conway, this is Tanya again. I got Prince's House that's 39 years old.
Well, I probably have the same thing. Oh, but bless you all. Bless you all.
Even though we only like 35, how in the world could that be possible? You know?
Right.
Well, the company's been around for 52 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, to God be the glory. You know, hey, go ahead.
Hey, this is Tanya. One thing that listening to the declaration today just reminded me of a conviction that I got being in class, actually two convictions. One was when we were studying a lot of the women of the Bible and Mary and her sister. I found myself, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was so busy. And I was very convicted with that, just being so busy, putting everything before God and not sitting at his feet like Mary. Recently, last week, my sister can attest to this, I work out every single day. I go to the gym every day, and I've been doing it for the last 2 years. But God had to put me in perspective last week when he said, you know what, if you seek my word like you do your workout, you know, put 100% into your spiritual man like you do your physical man, you can ask anything and it shall be done. So he convicted me with that. And so there is a natural order of things, and I've been saying this, and it's like he's checking me. I'm saying Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I'm putting things before that, which was my workout and the busyness. So thank you for the declaration, because it just keeps me focused.
Amen. That B word, I have a tendency, and if I don't watch it, I am so used to having several irons in the fire. But this time, again, with Josiah and what I deal with him, I didn't have the place or the position to be all over the place. And, you know, for some people it looked like it may be unmaintainable, but for me it's a natural order. And so as natural as it is for me, it is an unnatural habit. And so you have to make specific strides. See, and this time I got sat down. You ever got in trouble as a kid and your mama sit you down in the seat so hard that the feet lift up off the ground and it makes noise like somebody juggling? You know when you get hyped up in your collar and she slam you down in that good kitchen wooden chair, honey, and you be shamed and you be trying to get your balance for about 13 minutes after she slammed you in the chair? So that's what this felt like. I don't want to be slammed in the chair, not never again. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll just sit down over here in the corner and shut up while I do it. Amen. Amen.
And this, Juliet, that reminds me of a time when, you know, I was in a singing group, and then I was in the choir, and I was doing all my, you know, all the stuff for the church and everything. And I remember I was sitting in the pew one day, and the Lord said to me, I want to spend time with you. I'm saying, like, what do you mean spend time with me? I'm do Bible study, I do this, I do that, and, you know, choir. And he's like, and I got this group, and he was like, don't you know I gave you the voice? The voice that you're using is what you use.
Right. Don't know.
I remember thinking in my mind, like, Sarah, you know, kind of laughed to myself, like, yeah, right, like that. I remember saying that to him in my mind. Mm-hmm. And, like, 2 weeks later, my voice was gone. I couldn't sing.
You was mouthy.
I was ready. I did that for about a month or two, and then even when I went back to sing it, it took almost a year for my voice to come back.
What size shoes you wear? I could possibly go. You need to pick out your own shoes, though, huh?
April Mayberry.
Stevens, can you mute your phone? You
I'm
so
sorry.
Hard.
Yes, I am. Oh, I apologize.
Ooh, I felt a word. I was like, please don't let no word come. Don't let no word come. Don't let no word come.
Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Bless Jesus. Bless Jesus.
April, we love you, April. Good to hear your sound.
I love you.
Baby, y'all just don't know. Y'all got spared. I was like, oh, Jesus, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, Jesus. And then
okay,
did you leave? Oh, Jesus, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Sister Juju, you was not only molded.
I think that
has happened to all of us at some point. I done got shamed so many times. I just snicker, though. I just be like, ooh, shame. Have a seat.
Well, isn't it good to, I know we belaboring it, but Dion, isn't it good to recognize it though? Like, okay, I'm gonna be quiet. It's good to. I know somebody. I believe now part of the problem was pride, but it may have also been idolization. Cannot sing. Had a huge growth out of nowhere that came. It wasn't cancer. It's in their throat. Singer. should have been and done some amazing things, but because of pride and who, and because of their unbalanced confidence in who they are, and that their voice could take them and get them to through any door.
Sure.
The last few times when singing bombed so bad that people who knew them walked out of the room. Ooh, no, do I know her? But listen, the growth got so big, it was it had started to affect their ability to eat, to swallow. And so they went to the doctor to get it checked out, and the doctor thought it was one thing. Listen, I'm telling you, guys, the thing had wrapped all the way around from the front of the neck to the back of the neck and was starting to, my goodness, starting to spread down like part of the shoulder. Like it was crazy. So while we can be, like, God, listen, God's will is going to be done one way or the other.
Right.
You know, and he just nudges us, you know, ever so slightly, just give us a little tug. You ever been at a church meeting? It's probably just Kojic people. Ever been, and they give you 5 minutes to speak, and, you know, they'll come up to you, the moderator come up to you and slightly tug your coattail, you know, like, or they don't start with that. They go, amen, amen, God bless you, amen, praise the Lord. Maybe when somebody come up and yank that coattail,
or honey, or the musician pull out, start playing on you. Ooh, please don't let the musician start playing.
Yep.
I'm sorry, y'all. We headed out to school. Awesome discussion this morning. Super glad we revisited what we revisited, and I'm looking forward to what the rest of the week will yield. And if there is nothing else, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up as I deliver my little package to school this morning. All minds clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Once again, TNT Bible Study tonight at 6 p.m., Study the Word with Pastor LaVille Jones. And if nothing more, we'll meet you right back here either this evening or tomorrow morning, same bad station, same bad time. I love you guys, but I promise God loves you the most.
Love you, too. Have a good day.
Love you, too, Dion.
You too.
Have a great
love
day,
y'all.
Guys.
Be blessed.
Everyone. Be blessed.
Be blessed.